Summertime and the living is easy. Fish are jumping and the cotton.
Hey everyone, this is the Helping Friendly Podcast. Today's quick hit is the Portland show. We're with CJ, who's at Ingest77 on Twitter, and Josh, who's at NolaSocks on Twitter, two of our great friends and great supporters of the podcast and recent guests. So we're glad to have you back. What's up, guys?
Hey, CJ.
Hey, how are we going?
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, man. So you guys both got to see a fish show last night within, 10, 15 minutes of where you live, give or take, which is pretty awesome. What was the, I guess let's just talk about the scene, you know, downtown before the show. And I mean, it's such a great downtown with so much to do and so many great, you know, restaurants and so much good beer. Was it a pretty celebratory atmosphere before and going into the venue?
It was great because all the last shows there have been in the dead of winter. And having it be such a warm atmosphere outside I hadn't seen the area around the Civic Center like that before. It was pretty electric outside beforehand.
Awesome. Josh, what about you? I know you were giving people a lot of advice on bars and restaurants and whatnot. What was your take on the kind of before scene, pre-scene?
Yeah, you know, it's great. The it's a small enough city that when the fish crowds descend on Portland, it's very, very noticeable. So just the blocks surrounding the venue were packed with, you know, kind of scattered shakedown streets and lot scenes. And then it was great to hang out with a bunch of other people at Novare. So it was a good downtown city scene before a show, and nice change up from the normal lot scene in the middle of a summer tour.
Nice. So can we still call it the Cumberland County Civic Center, or do we have to call it the Cross Insurance Arena?
If you don't call it the Cumberland County Civic Center, I'm pretty sure CJ will drop out of this call.
Okay, cool. So that's what we're going
to do. I will.
So I've been to this venue once. I think in 2009, I guess. It's a really cool venue. Did it feel as intimate as sort of it looked in through the pictures, and did it feel like a different kind of show because of the size?
I mean, the Cumberland County Civic Center always feels small. Like, no matter how many times you're in there for a show, as soon as I walk in, it's like, wow, this is a small little, you know, ice hockey rink. It's intimate. It's small. Like, there's not a bad seat in the house. There's no overhangs, whether you're on the floor or in the bowl. You're going to get a great view and, I would assume, great sound. I was on the floor yesterday, but I don't think there's a bad seat in the house.
It does seem just as small. It seems like almost like your living room kind of thing, as opposed to, you know, I went to Magna Ball last year and was my last fish experience, and having something so massive to go back to something so small. I was standing as close to the band as 7 years. We're just right of Paige, kind of up on a landing. So it was great to see the band that close and see them interacting, and it was hot. It was really, really hot.
I saw someone post a tweet at set break that said, "Lukewarm set, scorching venue," or something to that effect. But let's talk about the music a little bit, guys. What I guess, you know, starting with the first set, highlights for you, first set and then into the second set.
I'd say my highlights, I love the 1-2 punch of grind and then Cars, Trucks, Buses to start. Kind of seemed like a unique, you know, first two songs for a show. Even though they kind of botched the end of Cars, Trucks, Buses, but we'll give them a mulligan. And I think my other highlight in the first set was My Friend, My Friend. It's one of my favorite songs, really one of my favorite set openers. They obviously played this in the middle of the set, but I just felt a lot of energy coming from that song, and I was just really into it. And I love My Friend, My Friend. So whenever they play it, I'm into it.
Nice. What about you, CJ?
Yeah, hearing the Sloth was a big highlight for me. I've never had a tire of hearing that. I could hear that most every show. But I've got to agree with Josh. My Friend, My Friend was, I think I texted him once it started up, because I know we both have an affinity for that song. And I think it was probably the hardest I danced all night. I was very excited to hear that. And to be fair, even the end of Heavy Things I thought was pretty good last night. Trey kind of did this cascade of notes at the end that made Heavy Things not that bad two shows in a row.
Nice. So we've all of us, I think, have been trading notes about the second set, particularly the tweezer, and kind of following this pattern, right, of sort of short-ish jams, more songs in and out of things, different kinds of placement, different kinds of selection. What were you guys, what's your take on the second set in terms of the actual selection, but also the quality of the playing from your perspective?
I thought they came out with the second set. I thought the first one was fantastic, and the energy after they were done was super high. And they came out and started the second set with First Tube, which just, like, if that place was hot before, it was broiling. By the time they kicked into Tweezer, everybody was ecstatic in the whole building. The Tweezer jam was short, but I thought seemed a lot longer than the time says. And, you know, to cut it that short and to go into Gaiuti, I don't know if anybody was upset with that. I have to say, I love Gaiuti, and I thought they nailed all the composed stuff really well last night. So I thought that was pretty good song placement, even though it shortened up in Caesar Jam. The mic that was pumped to hear come up, kind of giving, you know, sending me back to the first show that I'd seen there. Then the tides turned, and it kind of
nice.
started to get a little bit soggy, where I think more people wanted it to get a little bit jammier, and definitely seemed to affect a bit of the energy in the room. I actually thought Devotion to a Dream kind of had a nice trait beat on the solo, and Windseed I thought was played really well. But at that point, it kind of mellowed out. Bittersweet Motel was a great breakout. Not a song that everybody is clamoring for to bring home.
Yeah, I love Wingsuit. I'm curious how that played out for you guys.
Wingsuit was one of my highlights of the set. Cool. You know, I think thinking back on it, I think the Mike song, while short, was, you know, pretty intense. But, you know, I'd agree with what CJ said, that kind of after the Mike song, they kind of fell into a pattern that we've seen in some recent shows where, you know, call it the fourth quarter or what you will, but it just sort of, it became songy, and there just kind of wasn't a whole lot of meat, at least in my opinion. I mean, everybody goes to shows looking for different things. You can say you don't have expectations, but there are things that people like about shows, and you know, kind of the end of it fizzled a little bit in my mind, but that's not to say I didn't have fun.
Did they Fluffhead bring it back up a piece? I would think that kind of would have reversed the downturn, as it were.
A little bit. It was great to hear Fluffhead after its absence. You know, after I've listened a lot to Wrigley 2, which I think might be my favorite, you know, front to back set so far of this tour. And I really like the placement of Fluffhead there, you know, kind of coming off the tweezer, and it was the first Fluffhead in a couple years, and I felt it kind of fit really well there. Fluffhead at the end of the set, it was good. It definitely picked things back up, but I would have preferred something else.
Maybe like a 30-minute Bittersweet Motel. Sorry.
So,
you know, after they were kind of running out of time at that point, so there wasn't going to be, I know Fluffhead's normally 13, 14 minutes, but I don't think they were going to get into a huge jam at that point of the evening. So I thought that definitely brought the energy back up in the room, and then to close out with the Weekend Bar was I think as good as they could have ended that set at that point.
Yeah, I mean, actually thinking back, and I was thinking about this earlier, they closed strong with Fluffhead Weekapog. So there was kind of this, you know, a little bit of a lull kind of in the mic's groove, but it closed well.
So like sixth, seventh innings were a little laggy maybe, but eighth and ninth they came out and knocked it.
Yeah, they could use kind of some better middle relief, but they had a really good closer.
Awesome.
Okay, there you go.
I'm glad we're getting into different kinds of sports metaphors given the season. Well, guys, I guess just before we wrap up, let's get a quick take from each of you on, I mean, where do you think the tour is headed from here? Not logistically, because we know they're going to Great Woods next, but you know, musically, energy wise, you know, when you left, what were you thinking about? You know, what do you think's coming next?
I mean, my view is that, you know, I think it's natural to compare the, you know, first 10 shows of this summer tour to last summer tour. And, you know, I think a lot of people would agree that they're not quite reaching the heights that they were reaching this early in the tour last year. But I think they're going to get there, you know, and I don't feel like this tour will end up as strong overall as 2015, simply because I just don't think there's that foundation, that super strong foundation that they built on last year. But I have no doubt that a month from now, when we're talking about the Gorge or when we're talking about BGCA, I mean, we're going to get some, you know, top notch shows that will stand up to, you know, anything we heard from 2015. I just don't expect, you know, kind of a long stretch of a week or two where they're just, you know, nailing things like they did last year. I think it's going to be a little bit more up and down.
Yeah, I think it's going to be at least some standout shows, but it's not going to be runs like it was last year. I think the change up to the West Coast, I think, will definitely do something for the band. Not to say the next three shows are going to have the potential to be great, but I think it'll be kind of like a demarcation point for the tour. One thing I was glad to see last night, though, was Trey brought back out the Awesome Puck, which after a few years of not being my favorite guitar of his, last year I came to love, and I don't know, it seemed to be a portent of good things, especially in the first set. Hopefully they can take some of that and push it into Great Woods and Hartford and Syracuse before they leave the East Coast, where they only play the good shows. So.
I hope you guys are right, or maybe I hope you're wrong and they just come out in Great Woods and just start knocking it out every show. Maybe that's what I really hope. I think they're messing with us, and I think they're going to play Wilson at Great Woods just to wink at it. But so we're going to
trolling, Jonathan.
Yeah, I do. I think they're trolling us. Yeah. Which would be great. So we're going to go ahead and play some of that Tweezer Jam for everybody. Hopefully everybody has some safe travels to Great Woods. And thanks, guys, for coming on and talking with us.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you guys back. And we'll talk to you soon. And Josh, have fun at Great Woods. CJ, are you catching any more shows?
Yeah, I'm going to be great in Hartford.
Awesome. Great. We look forward to hearing more from you guys. Hope you continue to have a blast. And thanks again for joining.
Thanks, guys.
jumping and the cotton.